This episode is brought to you by SD Sober Living. If you or someone you know needs a safe and supportive recovery home, then reach out to SD Sober Living at www.sdsoberliving.org or call 619-625-0769. That's 619-625-0769. Come get some San Diego recovery and some fuck fentanyl at SD Sober Living. I'm Luis Romero. This is the Fuck Fentanyl podcast. I'm the Fuck Fentanyl guy. So I got my special guest here, Tiffany. How you doing?
Hello. Hello.
Tiffany is one of my friends right here in the San Diego recovery community. And she also modeled for me and murdered.
Yeah. That was such a quick one too. It was yeah. I'm across the street. I was like, okay.
Yeah, let's right.
Do it. Let's go to the park.
Yeah. Yeah. It turned out really dope actually.
It did. Yeah, yeah, for sure. So funny. I was like, when you asked me about the music, I was like, should I just pop out and be like, yeah, play some X-rated? I was like, my intro just come off all hard. But
fuck yeah.
No, yeah. No. Neil Young is a good one.
Hell yeah. Now he's back on Spotify.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. So, Tiffany, so I know you're from Hawaii, aren't you?
Yeah. So do I just like...
Yeah, okay. Go ahead. Go for it.
This is my first podcast, so nah, I'm just going to...
I'm the podcast cherry popper.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm originally from Hawaii. My family moved there when I was like 3 years old. Family of five, mom, dad, brother, older brother and older sister, 10 and 11 years older than me. And I moved to Kauai. Yeah. And I was there until I was 18. I come from a family that are no stranger mm-hmm. to the like addiction mm-hmm. and alcoholism. I'm gonna like try my best to not talk about other people and be respectful of them. And mostly just kind of focus on myself. But my childhood was very, my childhood was good mm-hmm. in a lot of ways. And then in other ways, like as I've gotten older and there, everyone has their problems. Is all I gotta say, right? You know? Yeah. But we kind of, you know, I grew up with like a dad who is sober now, but awesome. He struggled. Really bad alcoholic. I know he's going to listen to this. I love you, Dad. Don't worry. Really bad alcoholic. And, later had an addiction with prescription medication. But my dad quit drinking when I was really young.
Okay.
Like six, I want to say.
Okay.
And just like as far as my house growing up was very chaotic, very. Mm-hmm. So as like a child, I just remember being so afraid of things. Like I was a scared child. It's hard to explain, especially if I knew someone was loaded. Like being around people or adults or like anyone that I could tell had like some sort of substance in them, like it freaked me out. Like I was scared and I was like, I just was scared, you know? And I was a pretty good kid until, until, you know, like you get older and you go through things. And like my mom had me, I was raised religious in like the Seventh-day Adventist church, which is kind of like celebrates Sabbath. It's it's really interesting and like Jewish people, but not Jewish. And
So kind of based off that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just, you know, like grew up with God. And like I said, pretty good kid. And then, you know, like growing up in Hawaii was beautiful in so many ways, hard in some. You know, like I was a white kid in Hawaii. Which is like,
you stick out.
Yeah, you stick out. I think times have definitely like changed a lot with social media and just kind of how like PC things have gotten and stuff. But like when I was little, especially when I changed like from public school to public school, like a couple of times growing up, it was, you just stick out, you know, and like they just don't.
They're all islanders.
Kids just like didn't like you. They just, you're a white kid, you know. It's like not, you kind of like start, which is, you know, like I'm not. It's all good, right? Yeah, of like course. It's all good. But anyway, so yeah, I like my sister and brother were gone. My brother's like really struggled on and off with his, mostly on with his like addiction problems, and I haven't had like the most strong relationship with him. Me and my sister have been super close though over the years, and I love her very much. So I remember like drinking for the first time. So kids there, like, I don't know. I mean, I know just from other people, but people start like drinking and using at like a very young age, very, very young, with people who are very old, like much older than them. So like I was 12, I was hanging out with people who were like 25, 26, 27. Like I had my first drink when I was 12. I didn't continue to drink after that. I just kind of was like, that was awesome. Kind of like, it wasn't like, my story doesn't go like, I took my first drink and then like the next day I was like addicted to drugs. It like very much like it says, you know, in recovery that like it's, it, my like alcoholism was very progressive. It started off small. And then by the time that I got to recovery, this recovery, like it was out of control and that took years to get there. So yeah, I, my dad kind of left, you know, and I was just like, my scared and afraid, like the fear, which I found out in recovery, you know, like a lot of the roots of things, like that fear slowly turned into anger and turned into like, because I felt like growing up, my house was so chaotic that I just was like, I need to like hold it down and be like good because I feel like everything's so out of control around me. Like, I just don't want to bother anyone. And like, I don't want to see anyone like in any more pain. So I want to just be good, you know, and
you want to be strong.
Right. I want to be strong. You know, I wanted to be strong. I felt like, you know, I came out that way. Like I've always been ahead of like what's going on around me. And just like, I felt like there was no room for me to be whatever it is, you know? And, yeah, so I started really like drink. I like was like, look, mom, like I don't want to do this like church thing anymore. I'm over it. And then, but then I kind of like was hanging out with a group of kids that were going to a youth group, but then also were partying. So it was
them.
Like kids that like, you know, wanted to be good and do good, but also were getting into like the party scene over there, you know, and
that kind of innocent fun.
Yeah. And then I just started, you know, like drinking a lot, like drinking most nights during high school. And, you know, it's my kind of like alcoholism and like addiction it always starts off as like that first high, that first thing, and then you're chasing it. It's like I always wanted to be like keep up with the boys, like you know, drink and be able to keep up. Like, yeah. if you, whatever you can do, I can do. I can yeah. do more of it. Yeah, you know, yeah, I can drink more. I can do, you know, oh, you think I can't do that? I can do that sort mm-hmm. of deal. And just super rebellious, you know, like I was angry in high school. Like we were on food stamps, blah, blah, blah. You know, all okay. this stuff, you know, like I didn't grow up with money. Like my mom was like, you need to start working like as soon as I turn 15. And yeah. I go, boom, like there's a resentment. It was like resentment, resentment, resentment. Like she was like, I can't pay for you to basically do anything that you want to do, but I'm going to put a roof over your head and you can like have the food stamp card when you want to go get food. And I was just yeah. like, whatever. All right. So I took that as freedom. And then like fast forward. So like my drinking, I was like, okay, like some of my friends were having kids. Some mm-hmm. of my friends were like diving deep into heavy drugs, like okay. friends, acquaintances, like people's little brothers, like where it was like, okay, they were like tweaking. And yeah. then I was like, okay, I don't know. I don't want to do that. You know, yeah. like I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
I fucking love drinking
so much,
you know, like my whole life is drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, okay, I need to leave. Like mm-hmm. that was like my first, what we refer to as like geographical, like, that was my geographical move thing. Yeah, you know, yeah. I was like, all right, I'm going to, yeah,
you'll get
I was like, I'm going to leave Kauai. I'm going to, you know, like go to college, like with a couple of my girlfriends in yeah. Santa Barbara. And I'm going to like, cause school was, I've been talking about this cause I'm doing my CODA steps actually.
Okay.
Yeah. Which has been like, I'll get to that,
that's really
but
awesome.
It's really great for someone who's been in recovery for a few years that wants to have like healthy and happy relationships, which is where I've reached. But,
nice.
I was like, wait, where was I? Oh yeah. So
you're
I was
moving,
like,
moving,
moving. Yeah. yeah. And then it just kind of like right before I left, like I drank a bottle of tequila and like had some like weed brownies at a party. And then I just like got alcohol poisoning. And that was that was like 2 weeks. And that was foreign to me because I always could drink like a lot. And mm-hmm. then it was like 2 weeks before I graduated high school and I had my mom come get me, which was like very unlike me, you know, yeah, like yeah. my friends were like, dude.
Yeah.
And she was just like, I don't even know what to do with you, you know? And then I went to the hospital and then like, I came back after and then it was like the next day, this is like looking back when mm-hmm. like it, this is like how I describe my alcoholism is like the next day after getting out of the hospital, I was like drinking a mimosa at like 17 at like with some of my
Brush
friends. And I remember my mom calling me and she's like, where are you? Like, why aren't you at home? And I was just like, I'm like eating breakfast, but I was like drinking, you know, yeah. after I had just like gotten out of the hospital.
Right.
And I was like, oh my God. So, I didn't think much about it because I like felt good. Like the physical stuff, like the way that I physically felt at the end of my like, before I got sober, I was very physically affected, but like my body was just like not there yet. It was still metabolizing alcohol yeah. like fairly good, minus yeah. me going to the hospital for it. So, yeah. And then like a week,
just jump right back to it.
Right. And then like a week and a half later, I think it was, or like 2 weeks later, the night of my graduation, they have this thing in Hawaii called Project Grad, and it's uh-huh. for kids. They were just having like a really big problem with a lot of kids dying the yeah. night of graduation, a lot of drinking and driving accidents.
Oh, okay.
And
gotcha,
so they
gotcha,
created
gotcha,
this program called Project Grad where it's like you walk uh-huh. and like graduate and then you like immediately get on these buses and uh-huh. like go to the Hyatt and like spend the whole night there, like oh. under supervision. It's like a dance. It's like all this
oh,
stuff
because okay.
they were trying to just like
minimize
the damage and like try to get like kids to survive like graduation night.
God damn.
So I like graduated in that night. I like got kicked out of for drinking like I was 18 and I remember like, so I got pulled out by the cops and they're like, yeah. well, you're 18, you know, so like, Do you want to like go come with us or do you want like your mom to come get you? Cause it's going to be like one or the other, you know? And I was just like, oh God, my mom.
Yeah, of course.
And then this was like the first time that I hid a lot of this from my mom, you know, mm-hmm. like I really, like I said, like really flew under the radar. Like I was able to just like be cool in school, skip school, still pass, do fine, you know? But I just was like living this, like, I just wanted to be like fucked up all the time, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember that night, so in Hawaii, like, you get leis in flowers, like they stack leis on your neck for your graduation.
Oh, okay.
My mom had like hung it all over my room. And
she was really proud of you.
Yeah. And then she like comes to get me, and then she doesn't really say anything.
Yeah.
And then we get home, and she just like looks at me, and I'll never forget the way that she looked at me. She was like, what is going on with you? You know, because this was just like a couple weeks after the hospital incident. Yeah. And then I was getting kicked out of graduation. She was just I just opened up my room, and I just like looked at everything, and I was just didn't have anything to say, you know, like, I don't know. That was always my answer all the way till my last drink was like friends, family members, guys, anyone like who knew and saw like the problem that I was having. Like people, obviously these are people who aren't in the program too. Okay. So, because you know, like what's up, you know, it's like, they're just like, what is your deal? Like, what is wrong with you? And I just never had an answer. Like, I don't know. I don't know what's wrong. Something, but I can't put it into words or describe it to you. Like, and I didn't want to, like, I didn't want to face myself or face, you know, the beginning of me, you know, that was kind of like the beginning of me really starting to hurt people.
I see.
You know? And I think my mom was like the first person that I like hurt like that night, where it was just, I'll never forget that. I mean, to some people who might, I don't know if anyone will listen to this, but like to some people who might hear that story where like it may be more extreme for them, like I know that they know like that look and that feeling of that like very first person that you like disappointed or let down from your like addiction.
Yeah.
And like you never forget it, you know, that very first look. Oh, one of many. One of many.
Get used to it after a while.
Yeah, get used to it, guys. So, yeah. I moved to California and I went to college. And it was just like, you know, as you can tell, like from then on, it was like I was working the restaurant industry. I'm still a bartender, by the way.
Yeah, I was about to bring that up.
Yes, I am. I work full time at two bars in Pacific Beach. Shout out PB.
Fuck yeah.
And it is possible. So just letting people know. and I went to Santa Barbara, and it was just like, that's where I got arrested for the first time. First time. I only got arrested one other time. Like, I'm not going to come on here and act all hard, you know, a lot of people close to me have done time. I have never, you know, like I've gotten arrested twice for disturbing the peace and drunk in public, but
Some gangster shit right there.
So hard. But it wasn't like I wasn't a psychosis, and it was really scary.
Yeah.
And, like I was in my neighbor's yard and thought that I was in Palm Springs and like knocking on, it was crazy. Crazy. Yeah. But,
and this is at Santa Barbara.
This was in Santa Barbara. Yeah. It was when I was like just turned 21. So I don't, from 18 to 20, it was like, I was still managing, like going to school. I still could go to school. I still was working. I was partying a lot, a lot, and just like wearing my body out and just, you know, and that's when I started doing drugs. A lot of my friends started doing drugs when we were teenagers, and I somehow managed, besides Adderall. Adderall. It really is, honestly. After having the real thing, I'm like, they're not that far off. But that was my biggest thing, is like, I'm not going to do blow. Like, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Like, I'm just going to be a drinker. Yeah, no, you know? And then I started doing blow, and then I was just like, this is amazing, you know?
I love cocaine too.
But here's the deal too, is that like, no matter which way I've tried to work it out or like flipped it in my life, I am first and foremost like a diehard motherfucking alcoholic. Like, I love whiskey, I love beer, I love alcohol. I will shout it to the rooftops, you know? And I love drugs because they make me drink more.
Yeah, they do.
Like that until they don't, you know, until all of it stops working, which is how I ended up, you know, in recovery is like, I loved blow because it made me able to drink more because I fucking love drinking.
Stay up all night.
Yeah. Drink. I love drinking and I love doing drugs while I'm drinking. And I love that whole lifestyle. And, that, you know, like, so my disease progressed and progressed. Yeah. And then I was like kind of getting, you know, some physical stuff where I was like numbness in my feet, you know, and that's I found out like doing blow, like circulation problems and stuff. And just like, and then it just kind of happened super fast from like 21 to almost 25 when I got sober.
Mm-hmm.
It got so dark. I managed to burn like a ton of bridges in Santa Barbara and like lost friends, coworkers. And then I was like, you know what? Like, I need to move up to Seattle. My sister was like, move up to Seattle.
Really?
Another geographical, you there know, you another way Seattle. Where I was like,
a happy place.
Right. For someone like me, too, from Hawaii, it just is like, what was I even thinking? But I met a lot of really amazing people up there.
Yeah.
And yeah, I moved up there and like I said, another geographical, like it talks about where I thought like, oh, you know, like things are getting out of control again. Mm. Like if I just leave and like go somewhere else, you know, it surely can't be me.
No, it surely can't.
You know, like I'm young. I want to have fun, even though like I'm finding myself in dangerous situations with dangerous people and I'm losing like who I am, you know? Sorry.
That's okay.
There's like a part in the book that's like one of my favorite parts. And it says like deep down in every man, woman and child is the fundamental idea of God. Mm-hmm. And like that speaks so loudly to me because through all this and through how dark it got and like the progression of my alcoholism, like deep down inside of me, I was like, I want to do good and I know that I am good, but I am not doing those things anymore and I'm not acting that way anymore. Yeah. But I like just didn't know how to stop. And for me, like that's when I look back, I'm like, that was God the whole time being like reminding me that little part that I was still there.
Yeah.
If I could just, you know, figure out a way and
to go back.
Yeah, to just kind of put the brakes. But as we all know, like with someone who struggles with substance abuse, like there really isn't a way to put the brakes. You usually have to like run full force into a brick wall or be like stopped by an outside force or whatever it is. And I know that's not for everyone. You know, I know people who got sober for their kids and stayed sober.
Yeah.
I know people who got sober, you know, and like, I don't know all the answers, you know, but like generally speaking, it's usually an outside source. It's usually something that has to do with like, you can't anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in Seattle and how much time are
we? Oh, we're at 20 minutes.
Okay, cool. I was in Seattle and that's when I was just like drinking every single day, super wanting to kill myself, wanting to die. Like didn't, I started getting these like blacking out a lot the last 3 years. And people want to say like, oh, I was in a blackout. Oh, I was in this. No, I was getting blacked out. Like I'm saying 4 to 5 days a week where I did not know
what you did,
what I was doing, where I was going, who I was with. I was, I hope I don't like regret saying this, but just being completely like clear, like I was like pissing myself in the bed, you know, like, you know how it gross it gets, you know, like doing drugs and drinking and just like on benders and just like no idea like who, where I would come out of stuff and be like, who are these people? Like, where am I? How did I even get here? Like, who is this guy? Like, and this girl, you know, like what is going on? Yeah. And then it was like, that's when it starts to cycle where I see like a lot of my friends, cause I've been there, who like may be coming in and out of recovery. It's like, Mm-hmm. Now, not only are you like drinking and using because you like the effects produced by alcohol and drugs, but you're drinking and using because you like can't handle the things that you do when you drink and use. Yeah. It's like the only way to deal with it, you know? And then that's when like it got really vamped up. And I was like coming out of these like long benders and in that like incomprehensible demoralization, that feeling of just being like, what? Like, what is going on? You know, like I did that or like, this happened to me. He did that. Like I did that. I can't. And then it was just like, well, the only way to deal with that is to get fucked up.
Drink more,
you know?
Yeah.
To get fucked up. And then the people around me, the people I started surrounding myself with were like, I wanted them to be worse off than me so that I could feel better. You know, of course. Yeah. It's like, well, as long as I'm not, you know,
I'm not that person.
Shooting dope, then I'm good. You know, as long as I'm
I ain't
not
no piece of shit like that.
Yeah. You know, as long as I snort and I'm not smoking, you know, like we're good, we're good. And I want to be clear too. There are like all through this time, there are some friends of mine that are still my friends that were like normies and they really like held it down for me. Like during Seattle, I have like, I'm going to her wedding this month, but like my friend Taylor, she was like a really good person for me to have. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people who saw that I had a problem, but still somehow were like, they're like angels, you know, the people that come into your life and like have compassion for you and like are there for you, you know? Mm-hmm. So I was like, when I was in Seattle, it was like my first time. I was like, okay, like I was finally in enough pain. I like couldn't, I was like at the end of my benders, I couldn't walk. I was calling out of work. I was not, you know, that's the thing with me too, is that like, I always was like, I will never not have a roof over my head. Mm-hmm. And I think it was because I grew up super fast and like I started providing for myself super fast. And my parents have never bailed me out of nothing, you know, like, cause they can't, they don't have the money to, they don't have the resources to like, period, you know? So I was like, I'm never not going to not have a roof over my head. Like, I don't care what I gotta do, you know, like, and, so I, you know, I was like having, I couldn't walk anymore. I couldn't remember anything. People were like concerned for my life. My dad was concerned for my life. And like, we've had, you know, an on and off relationship and stuff. And he, you know, having his own experience with recovery, he was just like, you need you. Oh yeah. I love telling this story. Okay. I don't even know if he's going to remember. I've told this in a lot of my leads, but like he came and stayed with me when I was in Seattle and I'll get to recovery. Like, I think I'm almost halfway there. So I can get to recovery.
You're good.
Yeah. I was in Seattle and like my dad came and stayed with me and I like blacked out like with him and then I don't even remember anything. And then like I woke up like the next day or 12, 13 hours later or whatever it was. And he was standing over me and he was just like, you will never be able to drink like a normal person, just like me. Like he was like, you have exactly what I have. Basically was like, the gig is up. Oof. You've got the bug, you know, like you've got the bug, kid, you know? Oof. And I was just like, fuck you, you know, like, get out of my house. Like, you gotta go, dude. In my heart, I had known that for so long in my own way, but like, I didn't know how to put any of these feelings or these, you just, you don't know what any of this means until you like really do the steps, I would say, like, and talk to people in recovery and like see the stuff and you're like, oh, you know, like that's me. And I didn't know how I could say what that was until I got here. And so, I tried to be sober on my own, like, and I was in Seattle and I was like, at the very end, I was like, you know what? Like, I'm going to just stop drinking. And so I was like smoking weed and like kind of, you know,
try to taper off.
Just, you know, get away from like the drugs and like people and just all that, you know, cause I was so close to killing myself on so many different like occasions from that demoralization. And I was just like, okay, so I managed to stay like dry. And so this is why I like love the Big Book, is because it describes, it's like his story, Bill's story, is like me. It's like he manages to like hang the goose high, is dry for 3 or 4 months because you know, things are getting real, you know? And I and then I like was like, okay, I'm gonna move back to California. Like, I really don't like, so I went back to Santa Barbara, and this is like right before COVID.
Okay, so we're
like in 2020, and I was just like, this is when I was like, you know, it's been a long time. I thought that if I like took some time off from like substance abuse and like I was thinking maybe, you know, I'd never given myself time before to take a break.
Of course.
That maybe taking a break would heal me.
Oh, I see.
You know, I would be like all good.
Yeah, you know? You take a little time off and then you go right back.
I'm like, well, surely like after 5 months of me like really doing, you know, and I what, but you know what I will say is during those 5 months, I wasn't drinking, but man, I was freaking out on the inside. Like I was like, I was so uncomfortable, you know, I physically felt good because like when you relieve yourself of like drugs and alcohol, you physically feel good. But like mentally, I was just like, there's no way that I can live like this. Like, you know, like I was losing it. And
restless, irritable, discontent.
Restless, irritable. Good case of the RIDS, as we say. Yeah, restless, irritable, discontent. And yeah, so I got back to Santa Barbara and I was like working for a while, and then like COVID, they was like, we're going to shut down the world, you know, sort of deal. And
I kind of remember that.
I was just like, you know what? Like, let's go get a bottle of Tito's, you know? Like, I was just like, I think I'm ready. I talked for like a month about it. I was like, I think I'm going to start drinking again. And then my friend, I feel like it was like my friend Mason or something. He's just like, okay, I don't know about that. Like, you know, like you're doing a little like better off without it.
And yeah. Yeah.
I started drinking again, and then it was just like all was over. I started doing like Xanax, and then like I was doing Molly all the time. Molly. So I was just like losing it during COVID. You know, I was just like ecstasy, drinking, Xanax. Like,
were you working when all this happened?
No, I mean, I worked at a restaurant like under the table, but I was racking up unemployment from Washington, which was double from California.
Oh, what?
So I got like 60 grand that year, and I have nothing to show for it. I'll tell you that. So I was just like, then I was just like right back in the darkness, right back with the wrong people, right back doing the wrong thing, and just like right back. But when I first picked up that first drink, I had like 3 Coronas in one night. And then that was it. And I use this like example with my sponsees is like when I broke that like 5 month of dryness, like I went back and I had 3 Coronas one night and that was it.
Yeah.
And I was like, I have arrived. Like, I'm cured.
I handled, you know? It.
I was like, we handled that. We're good. Within 2 weeks, it was like I was with someone in a blackout. They got arrested. I had no idea what happened. They called me from jail. They're like, "What? Where'd you go last night?" And I was just like, "What are you talking about?" And they were like, "Dude, I'm literally in Santa Barbara County Jail right now." And I'm like, "And this person is a really close person to me." You know, again, like not gonna. And I was just like, what? Like, you know, and that was like within like 10 days of picking up again, of
breaking them. Yeah.
Yeah. And it went on. And then I moved out, and then we'll get into the recovery part.
Yeah.
I was not doing good once again, found myself not doing good once again. Okay. And my friends from Kauai, like Mel and Holly, their sisters, shout out to them. I literally love them. Nice. They were like, move down to San Diego.
Oh, really?
Like, it'll be good for you, you know, all this stuff. And maybe you need to get away. I was like, okay. So I moved down to San Diego and I continued the debauchery of just like, and then I was, you know, during COVID was when it started, like the whole drinking in my room alone, using in my room alone, and like not with people, waking up and like there's just empty bottles on the floor of my, like, next to my bed, waking up with a bottle still in my hand and peed myself.
Yes.
And then like residue like on the dresser of like, I don't even know what that is, you know? Yeah. And like, that's kind of how it was down here too. And like my friend Mel, like, started, you know, being like, where's the bottle of Jameson that we had down here? Like, where are you? And then it was like, are you okay? Like, where? And then I started being like, I want to kill myself. Like, I'm gonna kill myself, you know? Yeah. And I ended up, like, my friend Connor, who I had like reached out to a couple years prior, he got sober, and I reached out to him like wasted one night. I need to get sober on Instagram. And he was like, okay, like, you know, I forget what our conversation went like, but obviously I kept on like drinking and using for a couple years. Mm-hmm. And then I reached out to him again and I was like, I need to get sober. Okay. Like, I have to, or I'm like going to die. Like, I'm literally going to die. You know, if I don't, if it's not me not waking up from whatever I've done, you know, dying in my sleep or whatever it is, or me, you know, like killing myself, like taking a straight up, like romanticizing, like shotgun to my head, like over it, you know? Yeah. And he was like, okay, he took me to an AA meeting in La Jolla, the La Jolla Cove, and it was outside because it was during COVID.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, this is crazy. And I just remember thinking, like, all these people are so young. And I thought that, like, there was no way that there was a young community. There was no way that there was a community for me because I was a bartender. I'm a bartender. Yes. And in the industry, there's no way people like me get sober, you know, or stay sober, you know, maybe take little breaks here and there, but long-term sobriety out of the question.
Right.
And then I was like, wow. And it really spoke to me. And I was, and then I was like, all right, I'm going to Mexico.
Whoa.
Okay. I went to Mexico with my dad and I was just like, oh, it's just so, I was just like, I don't know, you know, it went well. And then it was just like, I was like snapping my fingers and I was just like, I couldn't wait to get back because I was trying to be sober.
Yeah.
And I was like definitely going through withdrawals, like sweating and just like losing it. And as soon, I was out in Mexico with my dad for 5 days after that meeting, came over the border and I got my car and went to Santa Barbara. And that was like my last bender. I was like, I'm going to get messed up. Yeah. And like the last, what my last night of drinking looked like was, and using or whatever I was doing. Whatever. I don't even care anymore. Substance abuse of any sort.
Whatever you got.
Like, I'm just like, whatever you want to call it, all of it, any of it, all good, you know, like looked like me asleep, waking up, drinking out of bottle, turning over, throwing up, falling back asleep, waking up, drinking, running to the bathroom, throwing up, you know, both at just totally
insanity,
you know? Yeah. And then I was almost, it was crazy. There's a bunch of other stuff, but it was like, I got in my car and I came back down to San Diego in like a fog and he texted me and, my friend Connor. And he was like, oh, you know, da, 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 da. I was like, I didn't stay sober. And he was like, of course you didn't stay sober. Like, duh. Yeah. Like, of course you didn't. Like, do you have a sponsor? Like, do you start doing the steps? And like, I was like, okay, like I was ready. And I realize that like this is a high bottom. I'm in like the high bottom category. You know, like I didn't kill anyone in a DUI. Like I didn't go to prison, you know, all this stuff. But I was so spiritually sick and so in a low of like mentally done, you know, completely lost myself. Could not even look in the mirror. I looked in the mirror and especially when I was loaded and I felt like I was looking at like a demon, like just my demons were like coming out of me. And I got my sponsor and, you know, like from then on, like recovery has changed my life, you know? And, I didn't pick up again after that. Like my sobriety date is the same. It's November 2nd, 2020. Brr, 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 brr.
Fuck yeah.
And I did my first round of steps with my sponsor, Holly. She's amazing. She has a long time. She got sober young. I think like all this, the things that have happened in my life have been like divine, you know, like, I'm glad I got a sponsor who had a lot of time. If you have a sponsor that doesn't have a lot of time, that's fine. Like walking, But from the get-go, I will say when I got sober that I was like, this is going to be a long-term thing. Like, it has to be, or I'm going to die, you know? And I'm glad that I got somebody who had been in, has been in the game in a long time. And more importantly, who has been through a lot of things sober and not picked up, you know, because she almost has all the answers for me. I'm like, if this happens, what do you do? She's like, whoop, grabs it. Think again. And, you know, the biggest thing, like the principle of like the first step and that I've tried to do throughout my whole recovery, and I've made a lot of mistakes. I have had to make amends. I have been a bad roommate. I've been a bad friend and all that, you know, is like honesty. That's the only thing I swear to God that's going to save like an alcoholic, an addict is like, you have to be honest. You have to be or else it's not going to work out. You know, it's really not.
I believe it.
Honest through the good stuff and honest through the bad stuff. And I've tried to be like that as much as I can. And I swear to God, it's saved my life every single time. And when I haven't been honest, there was one specific time during my 9 months, I was seeing the wrong guy who was, you know, another guy in the program who was like not doing any, you know, and I was like a new, you know, the whole thing.
Newcomer,
Like you're figuring things out. And I'm like, call my sponsor. I'm telling her all this stuff. And she's just, and I love telling this story too, because it was a big turn for me. Mm-hmm. She was like, I don't know, Tiffany, like, I don't know what kind of work you're, or who you're doing work with, but you're not doing it with me.
Whoa.
You know? And I was like, okay. Word.
You know, like, God damn. All right.
Yeah. And made mistakes after that. Like I, you know, I've been pretty like open and upfront about how like when I got sober, it wasn't just like I got a job right away. I got all the things and like, I shared that at HA. I was just like, I get scared for people like that, like an addict like that who just gets everything so fast. And then it's like you reach the peak and you're just like, you know, on a good one. And then you just boom, go out. Like me and my friend Joe always says like chip, chick and a whip and then you're out, you know, like you get a chip you get a chick or a guy and then you get a car and then you're like peace, you know, like I'm out, I'm good,
I got places to go,
I got places to go and people to see and it's not you guys.
Damn.
And I, a lot of stuff has come super slowly for me, especially the spiritual side of it. I mean, I've done, you know, I did the steps thoroughly and I've done the steps again. And I always have tried to maintain like a pretty strong, as strong of a connection as I can with God. But you know, like I would say only until now, like today in the past couple months, like I went back into therapy and like was dealing with, okay, so real quick, we'll go to my year. So I got my year and I was like, yes, I got my year, you know, stoked. I said peace out to that guy that I was hanging out with, whatever,
loser.
You know, he's not even around anymore. That's how it is. Like they're usually don't stick around, you know, or they come back, you know, it's whatever. Everyone's on their, that's their own reality, not mine. And then, I started dating someone who struggled for a really long time. And a lot of people, I didn't meet him at a meeting. I met him like playing poker with some friends in the program. And we just fell in love, you know, really instantaneously. And like, it just changed my whole life. That relationship with him changed my whole life because I had a microscope perspective of what addiction looked like as a person in recovery. And man, that is different, especially with everybody's got problems and it's crazy for everybody, but especially with an opiate addict. Like it is just heartbreaking and really intense. And there's a lot of emotions and we fell in love and, you know, we were in a relationship for like, you know, this is post, you know, this is 2021, 2022. So like fentanyl's around now, heroin, you know,
it's kind of the height of it now.
And I was dealing with some friends who were in the program too, like relapsing, coming to our house, you know, it was just crazy. It's just crazy when people are like in and out. And, a month into our relationship, I, we were watching like Euphoria, and I was like, he was like, oh, you know, like I'm, you know, it's like kind of a weird day. And he's like, I'm gonna go to the bathroom. I'm like, okay. So like I go like into the kitchen, and then I'm like, I'm just such an intuitive I was like, what is going on? You know, it's been like 3 or 4 minutes, and then I like knock on the door and then it's no answer. And then I immediately knew like he had had a like month and a half at this time. I immediately knew like we luckily carried Narcan because I lived with my friend Carson, who is a recovering heroin addict. Yeah, obviously. And you know, we had Narcan at the house, and like we knocked down the door, and he was just like OD'd, you know, like had the death rattle, like, and we're all sober, you know, and it just like came out of nowhere, you know, and I'm like, oh my, like what? And then it was just like, call the hospital, call the ambulance. And then we drag him out, and like, I'm like doing CPR on him, and like the Narcan helped. Shout out to Narcan. If you don't have Narcan, carry Narcan in your car, in your room, in your bathroom, at everywhere, at all times. Have your family members, friends have it. I don't care.
Strapped.
Yeah. Because I've been there, and it saved someone's life. And I was just like, you know, and then, you know, he survived that time by the time the ambulance got there. And I was just like, oh my God. And I loved this guy with all my heart. So a few months go by, and it's, you know, he's struggling. And then on May 7th, he ended up passing away in his sober living. And it like changed my life forever, you know, like, again, like being respectful, because it's like he's a son, he's a dad, and there's a lot of people who know him. Like I loved him from the bottom of my heart, and like it just taught me so much. I thought that was kind of like 5 days before I got my year and a half, and I was like, everyone was just like, don't relapse, don't do this, you know, in the program, like you gotta like hold on. And I'm like, you fools don't even know what you're talking about. Like, I don't want to pick up, I want to kill myself, you know, like this kind of heartbreak is insane. And especially after seeing like someone struggle, it's like last thing I want to do is use or pick up, or you know, it's like I don't even know what I was thinking. There was just a lot going on, and I don't think I have like much other to say about that, because I've been really open about it on social media, about like how heartbreaking that situation was for me. And pretty much up until I've had to go into like deep, I'm in therapy right now still, and had to just like dive deeper into recovery and like not give up, you know? And the thing that I will say is like the biggest thing, you know, it's like unity, recovery, and service, and that like unity of the people who were there for me. Because there's stuff that happens that's so specific to people's lives. You know, it's so like amazing about recovery is there's no one in the room that hasn't been through what you're going through.
Right.
Like you can be in a room, you can be like God's garage. Okay. There's like 70 people in there.
Yeah.
Someone has done more time. Someone has lost someone. Yeah. Someone has lost a child. Someone has lost a partner. Yeah. Someone has, you know, had some tragic thing happened. Someone has been through great things, started a business. And then what do? How do you stay sober through that? How do you stay sober through the great and the bad? Doesn't matter, you know? And a lot of women were like immediately there for me when that happened. Yeah, they're like, we're so sorry. Like I went through this too. Like there isn't much to say other than like, hold on and like, trust God. And like, you know, there's not really anything to say. So I've been so blessed with like people in recovery who were there for me through those trying times. It's still like I'll never be over it ever.
Sure.
Ever.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know?
Yeah. It's fucking,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
And I know people who have been through that they aren't over it either. I mean, it gets a little bit easier.
Yeah.
But it's not ever going to go away, you know?
Yeah.
And
pain will always be
it
there.
It will always, always be there. And yeah. And so that kind of like sparked a different kind of, I was really resentful, and like people started, you know, you start hearing, I was really hearing like the differences and not the similarities. And people were like, I felt like people, it was like, people were saying like, you know, some of us have to die in order for some of us to live. Yeah, and like, and I'm just like, oh my God, you know? Yeah. And like really going through an existential thing where I was like, is God even real? Like, is any of this even real? You know? Yeah. And, I just, all I did was like dive deeper into recovery and like really ask people for help and started sponsoring. That's when I started sponsoring.
Oh, really?
Crazy enough. I always thought, I was like, oh, I don't know. And then I started sponsoring, and it was an amazing experience for me, and it continues to be. And like I said, you know, like, only now the past few months have I gotten back into therapy and stuff. And like, it's like 3.5 years. So if there's people who like listen to this, who are new or have more time than me, like there has been like from a year ago till now, completely different, like open up my heart to like a lot more of things that I can do. And like just started, you know, wanting to take care of my body. But it's like I said, it's slow sobriety for me, like long term. So if I'm really going to be sober for a long time, like I can't just expect all this stuff. I'm not like, the wisdom isn't there yet. You know, I'm not perfect. Like I said, like I've made a lot of mistakes and had to make amends and then wanted amends and not gotten them. And then what do you do? Like, how do you handle yourself there? Like, you know, stuck to my commitments, try to stick to my word, try to be like a good, you know, and all that stuff I couldn't be before. Like I couldn't date really because I couldn't even stand up. Couldn't even stand up or walk or talk, you know. And like I just wanted to do me. But like the past few months, like I'm glad that I'm you asked me to do this podcast. Thank you so much.
Of course.
Now, because I like feel like I look at myself in the mirror again and I see that like good again and I see myself again. And it's feeling good. Like I finally can say that I feel like good, and I have bad days. And again, like it's, there's something I've learned is like, we're all just trying to get by, you know? Yeah. And like when people ask me stuff or sponsees or even friends, I'm just like, look, I don't know like what you need, you know, but like, this is what we're told works, and it's worked for me.
Yeah.
And I try to not ask any questions, but if we're going to go out at any sign of uncomfortability, none of us would be here. You know, like if we just picked up at any sign of feeling uncomfortable or feeling this or feeling that, like nobody would have time. It wouldn't exist. Recovery wouldn't exist.
Right.
So through the good times and the bad times, like really tried to stay good, you know, and I know how to operate in chaos too. That's my biggest thing, is I'm most comfortable in chaos. It's when stuff is good that I'm like, oh, my bank account's getting higher. Ooh. Like, oh, this or that, you know, it's like, how do I work through this? But so I don't know. I feel like I've been talking forever.
No, you're fucking doing great. Yeah. You're fucking killing. I relate so much.
And that's my story. Yeah. There's a lot more, obviously. In a nutshell, I feel like, you know.
Oh, my God. I definitely want you to come back on.
Really?
Oh. Yeah, for sure. I should. Really? No, yeah. You're really, really great. I relate so much. I honestly did. I actually, just the one similarity, it just popped in. I never sponsored anybody prior to my best friend dying. And it wasn't because I wasn't willing. I just kind of, I wasn't really, I didn't feel like I had anything to offer anybody because I was staying sober, not really working a program.
Yeah.
And even though I did my 12 steps and all that, and I became a graduate and all that shit, and I just fucking off and did my own thing. And, but when, you know, when my best friend died, I spoke at HA.
Yeah.
And,
that'll do it.
Yeah. I spoke at HA, and, it was the first time I spoke in fucking years. I don't even remember.
Yeah.
And, you know, somebody asked me to sponsor him, you know, after the meeting and all that. And I, my first thought was like, dude, were you not paying attention to my story? But and when I did it though, like, and I said, yeah, we met up and all that. I just was like, well, this is what it's all about. You know what I mean? Like, you could do the steps and you can, you know, all the inventory bullshit, go dig deep, soul searching, all that. But,
well, it's not, I mean, I get it. Yeah. It's not bullshit though. Like, we gotta do the inventory. Yeah. Like, it's obvious when I'm not doing it, and it's obvious when like people aren't doing it.
For sure.
It comes out. Yeah, definitely.
And, but what I was trying to say is that you can do all that, but if you're not giving back,
for sure,
you know what I mean? It defeats the whole purpose of, I feel like, and that was what something I was lacking on for majority of my clean time, because I wasn't giving back. I mean, I would speak and, you know, I'd always give my number and whatever, but it wasn't until I did this, when I became a sponsor, I was like, wow, I'm actually doing this, you know, for reals. And this isn't because I want to show off or something, you know. And, you know, he's not even, you know, he went back out and it's all good. You know, I know he's, when he's ready,
totally
hit me up.
Yeah.
And I just gave my sponsee a token just like the other night, on Tuesday. What's today? I don't know.
It's Thursday. Yeah.
It is Thursday. Yeah. So I gave I gave a sponsee a token for the first time.
That's so cool.
And it was really fucking rad.
Yeah. There's nothing like giving like your friend, like just, it's cool. I think the cool, like when I give my sponsor, when I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah, I mean it's I don't know how to, with your best friend, it's like you probably have what I had, where it's like when people start dying, people die all the time,
of course,
in and out of recovery, you know, like
life,
people that I know of, no acquaintances, but like when it's like in God rest all their souls, seriously, but like when it's someone really, really close to you, like how catastrophic it can be to like how serious it really is like kind of what made, you know, then I was like, oh, and then I started working for a nonprofit, and then I was like passing out Narcan, and then I like really like was trying to find like an outlet, you know, going downtown, going to Father Joe's, like what can I do to like help these people, like, you know, or like what did I not do that, what, you know? And then I just, then you're like, it's just people, like I said, it's like all you can do is just be there and do what you can.
Yeah.
And then the rest is what happens, you know?
Right.
And I had a lot of like shame. I have a lot of shame, had a lot of shame and guilt about like what you, it's always like the what ifs or what could have been done differently. And, you know, it just is what it is, you know? There's not really anything else to say. It just is what it is. And it's so fucking sad.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
But not everyone, and I've seen a lot of people's lives change too. And it's pretty amazing, like what can be done, you know? And like working with other people can come in all different forms. Like H&I, like, is so dope, you know?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Hospital, going to hospitals, going to Sharp, like doing all that stuff is really, really, really cool, you know? And in some ways too, I feel like being a bartender, I don't shout it to the rooftops obviously, because it's like an anonymous thing, but like people know, especially now everyone knows I'm sober, and they kind of get the idea, this girl is 28 years old and she's sober and she's a bartender. This bitch is in recovery, you know, like without me even saying it, they're like, this bitch is a 12 stepper, you know? And I'm just like, and I love my job, you know, like whatever. And
that's fucking awesome though.
It's like just being there, I can't even tell you how many people have reached out to me on the low and been like, how do you do it? Like, what do you do? You know? And it's just so cool because I'm like, I don't know if you have a problem, you know, mm-hmm. like you got to decide for yourself.
Right.
But like, this is what I did, you right. know, and right. I know I have a problem, you know. Right. So it's just so beautiful. Like this life is so beautiful and tragic and wonderful things and not so great things, but that's life, you know, it's right. life in it or is. Out of recovery. So
it is.
Yeah.
That's yeah. fucking awesome though.
Yeah.
I love that you're a bartender.
It's crazy. There's a few of us.
Yeah.
Shout
yeah.
out all you crazy people.
Oh, you crazy.
Yeah.
Get your money though.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
No, that's fucking awesome. Yeah. I really appreciate you coming on. I appreciate you too as a person. Like you know, you're a really wonderful woman in the recovery community, and I just wanted to let you know that.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you you know your support of the brand too.
Yeah.
It means a lot to me. And thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah. Of course.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. That's it. Goodbye, everyone.